Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the episode of Evolve Spirit. I am one part of the hosting team, Mike Brazel. I'm not sure if my co-host is going to be joining me. We've been having technical issues all day with the internet, and he thinks that we're not doing a show tonight, so he might not be joining me. But I'll just be here for a few minutes just to see if he joins me in just a bit. About the stuff in the world and stuff we normally talk about on this episode, even if it is just by myself. if he signs in. While we're waiting for him, I'm going to play a little bit more music and we'll see what happens. All right. Be right back. So you can follow us here. Lots of crazy, wonky interweb stuff happening all across the board. We'll talk a little about that in the show. But hello to all you yogis and yoginis, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Evolve Spirit Radio. You can find more about me on my website, michaelbrazel.com. Schedule a session. You're done. Yoga blog, inkedyogi.com, I-N-K-E-D. yogi.com, interaction.com is my other blog. You can find Taylor at taylorhammondfoster.com or find us both on Facebook at facebook.com/mbrazo and facebook.com/htfoster12. If you want to make a donation to help keep the show going, please do so at my website, michaelbrazo.com. Services page, bottom of this page, there is links there to make a donation. So if you feel called to do so, please. It really does help the show. It goes a long way to help keep us up and running. These wonderful are not free, but we like to bring them to you, and we are listener supported. So when people sign up for readings and sessions with me, it goes right into the pot to do more shows like this. So I hope you all have had a wonderful, wonderful start to your week. I am still do my paces with positions and getting out there and doing some running and stuff. And oh, hold on. And here, I think we have Taylor. Are you there?
I think I'm here. Am I here?
All right. Yeah, we're here. DARPA did not tonight. It's funny, like, the whole, like, you know, it went down, like, right before we were supposed to go by. Like, that 15-minute, I give myself a 15-minute window to get this show up. I'm like, you know what? I bet this shit's about to hit the fan. And of course, it hit the fan. And then I'm, like, unplugging, replugging, you know, and all of a sudden, bloop, it comes back up again. So I'm like, all right.
There it goes.
I don't know what's going on here, but whatever it is, we're here.
We're here, kind of. You're kind of cutting in and out quite a bit. So,
yeah.
We'll see how much of the conversation I get. I can hear. Might be a little bit of a game to play tonight.
Well, that's what we do. We'll sort it out one way or the other. One way or the other, we'll
exactly.
get through this episode, this show. Yeah. So, what's going on in your world?
Surviving at this point. Got 7 weeks left of this school thing that I'm doing, and then I am home free. Just 9 projects standing between me and finishing.
And what are you going to do when you finish?
Sleep. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm planning a sabbatical from everything for at least 2 weeks afterwards. I just don't want to do anything at all. I kind of want to sit and stare at a wall. Watching paint dry sounds pretty appealing at this point right now. Maybe grass grow. But the big plans for me are a bit of a detox. Just kind of get away from everything, get into my own personal creative zone, because it's been a lot of projects and a lot of just kind of running around feeling like I don't have my head on straight.
Wow.
But this has been good for me.
Right.
Been a good year. So.
Well, that's good. Sounds like you have at least some plan.
Yeah. No, exactly. The plan of no plan. That's my current plan. But
just the best plan sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not fretting about it too much, I think, is the most important part. Just kind of going with it, seeing what happens.
Dun, dun, dun. So, have you started running yet?
Did run on Saturday. I ran once. But it was up a mountain. So that's going to count.
Oh. Up a
That's
mountain.
Gonna count for something. It was like a mile on trail, so I figure that's a little bit. That makes up for slacking off on some of the down, like the flat road running.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, no, I was visiting family out of Vermont, and we went hiking, and I decided to run a large chunk of the trail that we were hiking. So.
So you left everybody behind. You're like, peace out. I'm out of here. You're run this
I was like, I'll see you guys at the top. Anyone want to join me? Come on through, but I got to
like,
go for a run.
That's all right.
I had a couple people join me for sections of it, so
You're
that was good.
like, race ya.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, you win.
Well, sounds exciting.
Yeah, but it's something that I need to start doing. Just getting out there and running, even if it's just 1 mile or even half a mile, just strapping some shoes on and going out there and run.
That's what
Like
I've been
tomorrow morning,
doing.
I'll make sure to do that.
Yeah, gotta do that. Gotta get out there. Whatever it is, you know, just run to the front door at least.
Anything to just get going.
Yeah, I try
That's
to do
kind of
at
the most
least 3 miles
important part.
if I can. The past couple, I've only been able to do like this oppressive heat is like it's just
Man,
bad here. It's so hot.
it's the total opposite here. We got our jackets out in Chicago. I mean, it's like 40, 50 degrees out here in the middle of July, and we're like, what is going on?
It was like 90 today or something. I was like, because I had the reading to do during my normal run time. Usually go later in the evening because it's a little bit cooler. I'm like,
Yeah.
nah, I gotta my run. So it's like, you know, they're kind of like right at the point where you could fry an egg on your face outside,
Yep.
a vegan egg that is. So, of
Of course, never a real
course,
egg.
it's vegan, like a tofu scramble. You're impressive. And like the first 2 miles, I was like, all right, this ain't so bad. I'm gonna hit that last mile today. And I was like, going, like, oh my God.
I
Okay. I was
can't.
like,
So
I could
hot.
feel my hydrating. I felt like all the water leave my body. Like, I'm gonna make it. Pass out. And someone's gonna like have to run me over their car or something. You know, it's gonna be like, you know, terrible. I'm not gonna make it back. But I made it. I was totally like under carbs too. I didn't have enough carbs. This vegetarian diet is tricky, I'm finding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty tricky. I'm not. It's I tried like, I went off like a one day. Well, 'cause I'm like an experimenter. I want to see like how
Yeah,
much
well.
is this actually affecting me? Like how much is this actually impacting me? So
Then
I tried it for a day and just did like some vegan like protein stuff. Felt like something kicked me right in the face. Like it was that bad.
it did not do anything good for you.
No, that night, because I've been monitoring my times and stuff. My times dropped like 30 seconds.
Wow,
I took,
and that's
yeah.
significant.
And then like I went back on fully and my times dropped again. So I'm like, huh, maybe there's something is something to this whole fruitarian thing. Except
Wow.
like if you don't eat enough carbs and then like you're working out, because I worked out in the morning today, you're pretty this weightlifting session today. On top of some cardio at the gym this morning, and I really didn't like carb up enough afterwards, so because like your body only to like make it through first, and then it's like we're going to shutdown mode, like RoboCop, you know, you didn't charge up or something, and like you're just like
You're just like,
no.
nope, eyelids closing, cannot go further. Must lay down.
Pretty much. That was a struggle, but I've been pretty set on this diet. Like, because once I start like going back hardcore vegan, people, I don't know, like, what's in the water these days, or something's going on. Like, that's in the air. There's some crazy shit flying around or something. But I got these crazies who email me like. And this one person asked a question like, hey, you know, what do you think about, you know, people who aren't vegan and, you know, and they're spiritual? And then we had to start off the conversation, start off okay. And all like batshit on me. You know, and I was like, whoa, whoa,
Like,
whoa, what's
what's
going on
going
here?
on here?
Like they were like super funny about how they were going to debate me on veganism, And their whole argument was, well, plants feel pain and da 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 da, and like you, I mean, I was like, whoa, wait a minute here, you know? I was like, first, this person eats meat, so I'm like, well, you're eating the animals who also eat the plants. You're like committing double murder, you know, using your logic. But I was like, first off, I'm not the person to like get in these debates with, like really experienced in having these conversations. They were rambling to the point where, like, you know, people like they type so fast that the words aren't anymore.
Yeah,
And then
completely.
over talking you with like they're typing, like you can't even type because like they're already typing the next thing. And then this person was telling me they were offering me a spiritual teaching. I was like, excuse me.
Okay.
They're like, spiritual teaching. I didn't really ask for one. They say, well, yes, you did. You attract this. I said, no. I was like, if you attract the crazies, then yes, but not attract any teaching on my food choices. That was like one circumstances where crazy trains have stopped at my stop on an express line. So,
Seems like you get a couple of those. It's every couple of weeks, it sounds like I'm hearing some of
week.
these.
It's been pretty frequent as of late. I get a lot of people who, you know, and I get a lot of people who just ramble, and I don't mind it. Like, you know, but there's some people like when I see their name pop up in my notifications, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Like, oh no, what's gonna happen?
They have commented on a post. Which one? Comment on. Am I have to delete this post? As of late, but I don't know. Like, they're like, are we lost power here today, randomly? I guess DC lost power yesterday. The stock exchange went down. Not saying.
And our phone connection is going down.
Is it? Hold on. I'm gonna
Yeah,
try a
it's
different.
like almost every other word that you're saying now is getting cut off at this point.
Hold on. Just start talking. Just talk for a minute.
All right, I'll try and keep up
I'm gonna mute
some of the
myself for a second.
banter.
Talk about some world event. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I mean, just with everything going on right now, we got the stock exchange going down for a bit. We got the United flights all getting grounded for a computer mistake. Today seems like it's not a good day for technology, it seems like. But oh no. In lighter news, Donald Trump was back in Chicago today, and there was big protests with all the Latinos yelling at him, and there was a mariachi band out there, and that was a pretty funny thing to see. It was all over the Snapchat stories, and people were Snapchatting all over the place. But it's good to see people standing up against some of the crazies out there, because we've got them in all shapes and sizes. We got them coming to people like us, and we got them going to the whole country.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. So I had to use the other technology, the call feature on my phone to call in. Because obviously Skype is not going to be a friend of ours today. So we'll
Yeah,
do
it
it
was
this
just
way instead, I
every
guess.
other word was cutting in and out.
Oh, man. Technology. I mean, what is going on? Like, I don't know what's in the air. I think we have
I
some
don't
solar
know.
flares.
Maybe.
Maybe some solar flares. I need to look that up, but I don't know. Like, I guess they're saying Anonymous also issued a warning about the Wall Street thing, like last night at midnight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're like, hope it doesn't suck next tomorrow on Wall Street. Hee hee hee. You know, or something to that effect. That wasn't the exact quote, but I was paraphrasing. But you know, and all of a sudden, like, Wall Street goes down. I just saw this movie called Black Hat, which is a pretty good
Okay.
movie. But it's about these Black Hat hackers
That's with
who, like,
the guy that plays Thor.
yeah.
Okay. That I came across.
And yeah, so it was pretty good, but it talked about them like hacking into the system and like manipulating the stock market and stuff. So you know, it's kind of weird. You see movies like that, and you're like, oh shit, like stuff's really happening, like stuff's going down. You know, it's you can't ignore these world events that are happening and how relevant they are to like the movies and stuff that are coming out. Like that whole movie with The Rock about California getting that giant earthquake.
Yeah.
And you start to wonder, like, are we being fed these truths? Are we getting, like, the warnings already? Because it's getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we hear about, I forget who's saying it, but I don't know if we were talking about this before or where I was talking about this, but the idea that, like, the movies that we're making, by creating them and putting those ideas out there, we're making that a possibility for something that can happen.
Mm.
Like just by putting those ideas out there, whether they're fake at the time or whether they're real at the time and actually being conspired on happening, it's just putting them out there kind of solidifies that that's now a real possibility.
It's now in our consciousness.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I heard it, though, is kind of the reverse. Like, it's almost as if though we have to receive the warning somewhere.
Yep.
And it's giving it to us through that from, like, E.T., like, E.T. showing up. They show us, like, they desensitize us by showing us the images on the TV screens. So then we get bombarded with, like, these world events, these world catastrophe things like 2012. And, you know, if you ever watch Discovery Channel, they're always doing those, like, what if the world ends kind of things, you know? And
yep, exactly.
Like, we're on a super volcano. What if Yellowstone explodes? And all of a sudden you're seeing news reports about Yellowstone.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know.
Closely related.
Yeah, a little too closely related. And I start to wonder because I got into a debate with a friend of mine about this, and she said, because I'm like, we're due. I told her, like, we're due for something big. Like, it's just the reality. It's just, like, the world is still shifting, and the plates and all that stuff, they're still moving. Like, we are just happen to be here now, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to 6 billion years ago. Like, we're here now. Like, we are part of the experience. So we're going to see what happens when plates begin to move and earthquakes happen, and there's crazy flooding in Nevada and, like, all this crazy, like, weather and earth stuff is happening, too. So, you know, she was like, well, if you say that kind of stuff, then you're going to put it out into the world. It's going to happen. I'm like, no, it's already happening. You know, it's she's in the belief that we could change that from happening if we put positive thoughts into the world. But I don't know. I think it's just if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, whether or not I put a positive thought or not out into the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a certain extent that we can shape the, like, our personal futures, at least, through the way that we think and what we think about. But ultimately, there's bigger things shifting around us. Don't think
right.
that it doesn't seem like we have much control over an asteroid coming in or a volcano erupting or something along those lines. Humans have been trying to change that stuff for our entire existence, but yet it still keeps happening. So,
right. I don't know. I don't know if we can change it. I don't know if meditating is going to stop an earthquake.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I like to think that it could. I mean, it can slow down crime, but I think we can affect certain things. But I don't know. Like, what can we do to heal the earth? Like, what do you think we can do to, like, turn the ship around?
Well, I say it all the time. I mean, it starts with us individually. Like, we have to turn our attention towards ourselves before we can fix everything around us. And everything around us, if we're going to be talking about the idea of us being able to change things around us, that means that we have even more power changing the things within us. So by making smarter decisions for your own life, but also in turn help better the surrounding space and area around you. That's going to help everything in the long run. You improve yourself, you're going to hopefully rub off some of that self-improvement inspiration on some other people, and it'll just kind of hop down the chain along the line. It may change that way, but I mean, you can help someone to change all that you want. It doesn't mean that it's actually going to make anyone decide to change. They have to make that decision for themselves. And ultimately, everything negative that humans are doing right now is not just one person specifically doing it. It's a large amount of people that are all doing it because they think, oh, I'm just one person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I do that. There's so many other people that it'll all be okay. Is we have to change that idea of thinking and just realize that, yes, it does matter what we do individually. Just because if you start being aware of that, then other people will see that you're aware of that. And it's more likely to make them want to enact that change within themselves.
Right.
So, one self-improvement at a time.
One self-improvement at a time. That's all we can do, really. I think, you know, there is a desire to change things quickly and to move through the world at the highest rate possible. But I think, too, we have the perception that that's what we're doing, when in actuality, we're not moving as fast as we think we are. Like, I think social media and, like, these things give the perception of speed, but we're not really moving that fast. Like, I don't think we're moving as quickly toward solutions as we think we are. And I think, you know, it really is going to take us getting out into the world and, like, actually talking to people. Like, we have this conversation a lot, but, you know, I think it bears repeating that it's beautiful that, you know, we're talking about these important issues of race and, you know, this whole Confederate flag thing. But I was talking to someone earlier this morning, and I was like, you noticed, though, that ever since we've had this conversation, we haven't talked about the militarization of police anymore. Like, our whole national dialogue has shifted to the flag. And we have stopped talking about police brutality. And, of course, there are pockets of people who are talking about it. So I'm not saying, like, we stopped complaining.
Yeah, you're not trying to generalize.
But then if you look through your Facebook feed, like, for a while, that's all I saw. It's like, people were talking about police brutality. We're shining a light on the police departments, and now we're not talking about that at all. Like, we're talking about the flag. And just how quickly, like, we were, like, cattle prodded over to this other thing.
And that's what happens so often. I mean, with mainstream media, it's just like, it's on to the next buzzword, whatever's going to get the ratings. For a while, I always thought that it was kind of a conscious decision for media to do that. The more I'm looking at it, the more I'm just seeing that it's just a group of people that have an even shorter attention span than the rest of us. It's their job to be looking one step ahead, see what the next thing is that's going to catch everyone's attention. It just so happens that the most compelling, eye-catching stuff is going to be leaning more towards the negative. People react to that little fear trigger a lot more dramatically than they do to any other kind of trigger. So I think that it's just a group of people that are just sifting through all this information and being like, oh, this looks good. Ooh, people are going to read this. Ooh, people are going to be interested in this. Ooh, this is terrifying. What the hell is going on here?
Right.
And they're just trying to feed the next thing onto us.
So what do you feel like the most pressing thing for your generation is? Like, what do you feel like is the hot, like, from what you're noticing among, like, your friends on Facebook and stuff, like, what are the issues or the most pertinent issue that people are talking about right now?
That are currently showing up on Facebook? And just, like, in my social circles, you're saying?
Yeah. Like, what are the conversations people are having now? Like, what are the most pressing things?
Oh, I wish we were having conversations. I think that's the biggest problem. Is it's
but
no,
what,
there's like,
yeah.
There's no conversations. It's just kind of reposting and reblogging and just like shoveling memes through the system. It's been pretty dead. I think most of the stuff that I resonate with are coming from your direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly things coming from you and just like little personal posts from friends. I've got a lot of film stuff coming up, a lot of baby pictures, a lot of people are starting to have babies. No
right,
one's talking
yeah.
about the news. It's like the past couple of weeks there was a lot, like you said, on the police brutality, on the Confederate flag and all that. But I don't know, it seems people are kind of like over that at this point and just posting funny cat memes and silly stories more than anything.
Well, like, I think the fire begins to fizzle after a while.
Yeah.
And it's like right now, it's like there's just so much and like you just don't know what to do. But I'm wondering, like, in all of this stuff, like, what are we missing? Like, we're missing something. Like, whenever there's this much stuff grabbing at our attention, this stuff pulling at us, I feel like we're always missing something. There's something within that mess that we're not seeing. And we're not connecting the dots. Like, in the whole stuff, like, in Greece, like, the stuff happening in Greece is pretty
yeah, we're
crazy
kind of,
right now.
Oh, who's hearing anything about that, though?
Yeah, like, no one's really I have some friends of mine who are, like, total conspiracy folks, and they, like, are always sharing that stuff. So I just get, like, tidbits from them. But, like, you know, you hear little nuggets about it on the news, but the big story is always Donald Trump. Like, he's all they talk about now.
Yeah.
And someone
yeah,
brought up a
I mean,
good
that
point
is,
on
that's
CNN.
That's all I'm hearing about. Especially
and
today,
they brought up a really good point that the media, like, they're not talking about the real issues anymore. They're just talking about the next wild thing Donald Trump says and what do the other candidates think about Donald Trump. But no one's, like, talking about how they're going to fix our country.
No.
Because they're all talking about Donald Trump.
Because the people talking about it don't make money off of solutions. They make money off of all the problems.
Mm.
I mean,
so what is it that you wish your generation would talk about? Like, is there an issue that you feel that they should be talking about that they're not talking about?
Oh, I mean, anything at this point. I've got my bar set so low that I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I think that right now, the most important thing to talk about is, like, our need to focus on issues and see things through, to not just, like, attack things with all your texting finger and typing fingers possible, but for a short period of time and then just forget about it once you feel like you've done enough, is to keep following through with everything. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I'm guilty of this as well. Like, I just don't think that there's enough dialogue happening to know what to do.
Mm.
I mean, what's the next step to take after we start to get attention onto a subject?
What do you feel is the next step? Like, what do you feel is the way to start moving towards bringing things to conclusion? Or at least moving towards a direction of closure?
I don't know. It's hard because the only thing that I can think of is we have to get it through, like, things passed through our political system and get things changed through there, ultimately. I think that a lot of it comes back to the way that system's set up. And we're not there right now. We don't have a working political system. We've got a bunch of people that say that they're all against each other and keep blaming the right, keep blaming the left, and vice versa. But yet they're both just yelling about the same thing, it seems like. No one's actually talking about the issue of needing to change how corporations fund our government, needing to separate if we talk about separating church and state, we need to separate our banks and state. I think that's one of the first things that needs to happen.
Right. What's like the whole idea of ending systemic racism? And, you know, I think it's, you know, we should be doing that. But I think the problem is that it's systemic, which means we'd have to dismantle entire systems to move away from that, to be finally just done with it. And the people who built those systems, like the prison industrial complex, are making money off the system being exactly the way it is. So I think, you know, we stop our conversations so short about, you know, we're talking about a flag and symbols of racism, that we're not, you know, no one's talking about solutions. And like, that's what really like infuriates me. Like when I hear all this stuff on the news or even these politicians, and they're like, yeah, we got to end this stuff, we got to totally end this. I'm like, well, how are we going to end it? Like, what are you going to do to end this? Like what are we going to do to like bring, start bringing like these issues forward? And I think there's just so many issues right now. It's almost like overwhelming to think about how jacked the system is right now.
So it's just like trying to figure out where to start.
Yeah. Without feeling like you're not doing anything. And that's what I've been feeling. Like I felt like, I didn't feel like I need to like zero in. And for me, like the whole vegan thing is like, it's so important because it impacts so many levels of life, internally and externally. So I've been like kind of zeroing my focus there, because like the gays, I mean, I always feel that people have, like people in crisis have people who are advocates for them and they can speak up, you know, but even like as a gay man, I can speak up for myself, you know, but animals and the environment can't speak up for itself. So I always felt like I should be an advocate for those who can't speak up for themselves.
Absolutely.
So I'm moving more in those directions. Yeah. Got to talk up for the animals. You got to talk. The crazy train pulls into your station filled with crazy people who are meat eaters. You got to be willing to like have those discussions with.
Yeah, and I think that that right there is the most important thing, is having those discussions. He's talking about those things with people, everyone, people that would normally talk about that, people that wouldn't normally talk about it, getting the conversation flowing. We keep talking about that, but I don't think that we're, I don't know, I don't think that I'm taking my advice to heart enough. I'm not having those harder conversations with people, and those conversations where you feel like you're just going to hit a brick wall and there's no chance of you changing anything right then and there. It's still important to talk about those things that are important to you.
What do you think you can do to change that, so that you can have those conversations?
I mean, I think that the big thing is just listening to myself and like to my inner thought and speaking up when I feel like I should. These are so many times where I feel like I should say something, but I don't, just because I don't want to, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to risk confrontation.
Ooh, yeah. That's a big word right there, confrontation.
Yeah, because even if you don't mean to, like, start an argument, you never know how someone's going to, how defensive someone might get about something. Like your crazy person on the email. It just starts off as a nice conversation and seems like it can go somewhere constructive, and then just kind of all tumbles apart. And then to do that in person, it's even harder to do.
Right. But what can you do? Like, what do you feel like you should do to like alleviate some of that fear? Because I think sometimes the fear really isn't the fear of the confrontation, but the fear that we're not going to be able to support our argument. You know, like I think sometimes, like when I notice, when I talk to activists in veganism, like they're afraid to speak up because one, there is going to be the confrontation. It's just going to happen. People are just not going to like the fact that you're defending this thing that they don't see as something that's defendable, you know, you should be defending. And
yeah.
Then there's the, do I have the right words in my vocabulary to pose these arguments in a way that isn't going to be insulting, because, you know, angry activists rarely get, you know, things done. But I think sometimes we have to be willing to have those, like, confrontations. Is it, like, are you afraid, like, with family and friends, or is it, like, do you find yourself holding back with those people, or do you just find yourself holding back with strangers?
Well, absolutely strangers. I mean, right now there's a lot of acquaintances in my life, a lot of people that are kind of hovering on the lines of people that I know in an informal, like, to a certain extent, but I don't hang out with them outside of basically a work environment. So that's mm-hmm. always a tough spot to be in when the majority of your interactions are there, because
right.
you have to work with these people often, and you don't want to put any kind of tension into those working situations.
Right.
And you just never know what's going to set people off these days. Some people just get really, really offended and take things really personally and feel like they're attacking you, like you're attacking them personally when you start bringing up points about how something that they're doing is not helping anyone.
Well, what would be an example?
I guess what I'm noticing a lot here is I'm definitely on the huge outskirts of my diet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody, I don't know anyone else here in my group of people that I associate with who are even vegetarian, not even going vegan, but are vegetarian. There's so many people that I know that don't even really eat vegetables if they don't come prepackaged, covered in sauce.
Right.
And that's an interesting spot for me to be in, because even where I grew up, it was so many people at least had, like, some kind of understanding of balancing out their meals.
Mm-hmm.
And what is going to be helpful for you in the long run. And then I'm kind of in a place now where there's a lot of people that are just like, fuck it, I'm going to eat whatever. I don't care, as long as it's cheap and easy. I don't feel like doing anything else. And for
right.
a while, I'd kind of make little comments here and there, or say something, or like try and bring up like little, like drop some little knowledge bombs in conversation without trying to be too intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would get kind of shut down or attacked, or people get really defensive, like incredibly exaggerated compared to the level of comment that I would have made
mm-hmm.
or that I had made. They would react so strongly to it that I was just like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I'm not going to go there. No reason to start pushing those buttons there. I can see that this is not going to go anywhere productive.
I'm totally the opposite.
People trying
like,
to
I'm
defend
like,
themselves.
All about, like, once I see that button, I'm like, oh, man. That's
oh,
the button I'm going to keep pushing.
I am that person as well, but I can't do that right now, because a lot of these situations, it's like I've got these projects where there's like three or four of us working in a group, and it's very like
right.
I have to rely on this person for a lot, and I have to communicate with them a lot, and I cannot be
right.
messing with those connections and making things harder on myself. At this point.
So then, if you saw them doing something overtly offensive, would you still then remain silent, or would you speak up?
I will say that I've been pretty silent, because...
Like, say, for instance, you were in a group of, you know, your little group of folks, and you heard someone making overtly homophobic or racist statements. Would you then still hold your tongue, or would you speak up?
So that's something that I would speak up in. Luckily, that's not mm-hmm. so much, that hasn't been too much of an issue, the group of people that
mm-hmm.
I'm with when it comes to the social
mm-hmm.
issues. everyone's pretty open and accepting in this field, at least where I'm at. It's been definitely more directed toward, there's just like a wall when it comes to personal health and diet and fitness, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a really
bizarre. Yeah, I think, you know, when it is with people and their choice of lifestyle, it becomes part of their identity in a way, which is still the same thing with racism or even homophobia. It becomes a self-identifying marker that we use to walk through the world. It becomes a part of our identity. And when I find people, when they get really defensive about their food.
Oh, my goodness, so much.
There are ways to joke. Like, you know, there are ways to have the conversation without having the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like if I show up with my, like, you know, fruit bar, and then people are like, oh, you're just eating fruit again. Eating your twigs and your leaves. I'm like, well, you're eating your slaughtered cow. You know, eating your murder on a plate. You know? Or like when people would, like, I'd have my PETA shirt on, and they're like, oh, people eating tasty animals. And it's usually a really overweight person saying it. So I'm going, oh, people eating too many animals. You know,
and, back at them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people, when they get defensive because they feel you're about to, like, attack them. You know, usually I find it's really defusing when you ask, well, why are you choosing to eat? Like, you know, is it monetary reasons that you're choosing to eat the things that you're eating?
Mm-hmm.
But then too, like, I find those people are usually the ones complaining about how they don't feel healthy, or like they wish they could make better choices, and they get really defensive about these choices they are making. But I always tell them, you know, don't complain. If you're not going to, like, be willing to have a conversation about the alternatives, then don't complain about where you are. You know, but if you do want to have a conversation about it, let's have a conversation. I'm willing to share what I know. It's not a lot, but I can give you some information about how things have changed in my life because of the foods that I'm eating, you know. And I think sometimes people too, with PETA, just having the association, even after these many years, like when I'm out to eat with people who are ordering meat around me will defend I won't even say anything about it.
Nope. And they have to make a comment about it.
Yeah. And then I'll bring up, well, you know, I don't feel uncomfortable with you eating meat in front of me. But obviously there's some discomfort in you in eating that product. So I think you should think about that, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you have to defend it in front of me and I'm not even in a place of judgment, you're judging yourself. And that's the only reason you're having that, like, reaction to my presence. You know, and I have people who go through, like, the whole gamut. Like, they spiritually justify it. And you're like, oh, well, you know, I prayed over it. And I'm like, yeah, but it still was slaughtered. It was still murdered, you know. It's like if I go to death row and the guy's like in the strap down at the table, and I go, "Oh, may the Lord bless you." Like, does that take away his fear? You know,
obviously.
Probably not. Yeah, oh yeah, like totally works. Like if you ask a Christian, if you like go against a Christian with that, then they're like, you know, you want to piss a Christian off, just tell him Jesus was vegetarian. You know, that flips them out completely. But you know. I can totally see that, though. You want to maintain those political boundaries with people. And I think sometimes, you know, that is a really important thing for activists to remember. There is a time and a place for conversations. Like,
exactly.
Like, if you're in a store, you might not want to call out a customer, you know, for being racist, like, right away. There's a way to pull people aside. You don't want to do, like, you don't want to make, like, a YouTube spectacle. Like, you don't become, like, a meme, you know? And sometimes you have to do that. Like sometimes you have to speak up or like there's been situations where I've been in groups of people and then someone will say something that's completely outrageous about animal rights. And then I will have to speak up because like, it's just so ridiculous that I can't not speak up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's usually because I'm the only vegan at the table and I know they're directing that comment at me on some level, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, I will speak up or, you know, if I'm wearing like a PETA shirt and someone, I don't know, makes some like snide comment about animal suffering, then I will gladly return the conversation. You know, and I try not to be like rude with my the way I approach people, but you know, sometimes it's like you hear it so much that you start to like realize like they may need this breaking point. Like you just become a karma accelerator.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
just you being around.
It's like I'm gonna like put this stuff in your face, and let's have that conversation. You know, it's funny because people do. I mean, we're in a very touchy time. I think everyone is really – people get so offended so quickly now.
So quickly.
I don't know, like, I'm noticing it now. Like, we're in some kind of weird something's going on because I've even seen memes going around where people are like, don't get so offended by everything, you know?
Yeah.
And we're getting to be so – we're getting to be so sterilized. Like, it's scary how – people are like walking on eggshells because if you say the wrong thing, you're racist. If you say the wrong thing, you're homophobic. If you say the wrong thing, you're anti this. If you say the wrong thing, like now you're against women all of a sudden. Like it's even posting jokes. It's like, I have to like, before I post a meme to my wall, I take it through, is this racist? Is this homophobic? Is this derogatory to women? Yeah. I have to look, go through the categories before I post it to my wall. Because people are so touchy.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is or why we're moving into a space where we're so critical of everything, like even comedy, like even comedians are like sterilizing their jokes.
That's the worst part about it, I think.
Like, where's Lisa Lampanelli when you need her?
There's a few comics left that are still holding out, saying that they're not gonna be censoring themselves. But if people are offended, they can go take their opinion somewhere else because they're the ones getting offended.
But that's the thing. I think if we don't talk about these things if we don't have room for humor and comedy around these things, they really begin to take power away from us. Like when we can laugh at something, we take power back from it. Like when we can like look at this and say, yeah, it's not funny, but God, like let's just lighten up a bit.
Well, that's
because
that's
it's
why people,
so heavy.
That's why people, when like you'll see often, like pretty often, someone gets like really physical up in someone's face, like over exaggerated, ready to fight them, and then the other person laughs just because it's so ridiculous how inflated they're getting over such a little, the other person off even more. That's such a common thing that you see, is it's like when someone's already upset, you laugh at them, and then that's just like, oh, that's like the worst thing that you could do in that situation in their eyes.
Right.
It's taking that power away from them. So it makes them flail.
Yeah.
they have to start trying to get head above
like
water.
People wanted to like fight me like at a PETA protest. You know, people would like come up and really like get in my face. And like, I remember this one time, like one of my first times out, you know, and being the karate guy that I am, right? Being this martial artist guy that I am. I mean, there's been times when like I'm standing there in this chicken costume, like at the KFC, in my little, you know, KFC skull birds alive sign. And there's these, like, there was these two rednecks in this truck one time, like, just like going at it, you know, throwing like chicken pieces at me and like cussing at me and you know, and I'm like, how funny would it be for me to rip you out of that car in my chicken costume and beat your ass? You know, like, you know, how funny would that be? That would be like a total YouTube moment, you know?
Absolutely.
But there have been times when it has gotten aggressive and people have gotten in my face. And I always find it, and I would laugh because I'm like, it's so funny that my presence alone has caused you to have such, you don't even know me. So it's not me you're attacking.
No.
It's the idea that I represent that you're attacking. And how powerful that is, though. You know, like when you bring up, like if you're with your friends and you bring up something like that and they get really defensive, just think how powerful that exchange has been. Even if it's just for a second and you back down and they remain in that aggressive state, like the power of your message was so impactful, it created that kind of disruption in their field.
Yeah.
So I always look at that, like, even though it's like that moment, it's still a victory because that person is still going to think about it long after, like, the conversation's over. When people respond with that kind of aggression, there's a part of them that really wants to change. But they
don't
fight
know
it.
How or don't have the ability to at the moment.
Yeah, it's like I think some people are afraid to
absolutely
to do that. And there's that Gandhi quote that says, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then they win. Then you win. Then they win. First they ignore you, they laugh at you, they fight you, and then they win. So don't, whatever it is you're doing, you're screwed. But I've heard it another way. It's like, then they fight you and then they join you.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
And see, like there's some like DARPA programming. They want me to put out like the wrong message. They're like trying to get at us. They're
come
trying to
the
shut down our show. Yeah, they're trying to like manipulate our speech.
Yeah, I mean, George Bush and the Rothschilds.
I know, right? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, they're coming after Evolve Spirit Radio. They know, like, how much power we hold. How many minds
exactly.
We influence every broadcast. So, they're aiming their DARPA machines at us. Although, on another note, side note, there is this psychic who used to work at the store many moons ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he got fired or something. But I saw on his, like, I check in on every so often because he's just like a hoot. Just because he's just so outrageous. Like,
yeah.
You can't really believe anything he says. And then he posted on his Instagram, he's being tortured by the U.S. government with their DARPA machines.
Uh-huh.
Like, he says they've been beaming him with high-powered microwaves from, like, across the country. They're like directing them these atomic waves at him, and they've been like, he's been having these massive nosebleeds and like diarrhea and stuff because of the DARPA machines.
Yeah,
I'm like,
of
oh,
course.
Absolutely. Like, you of all the people in the world,
they choose
the
you.
Target. I mean, and it could be like, I don't know. Like, maybe this guy knows some shit, right? Like, maybe he just knows a little too much.
I mean, it's
kind of good.
Kind of like the people that see aliens. It's like, yeah, the aliens chose to become visible just to you. This special person in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, with a fourth grade education and works at a chemical plant.
Right. But sometimes I think it could be because they picked that person because, like, no one's going to believe them.
No one's going to believe them. Exactly. That's the other argument.
Like, but, like, then you get these astrophysicists and stuff who've seen aliens, and you're like, oh, maybe Joe in the field wasn't so crazy. But he says there are people of interest, or targets of interest around the country that are being targeted by this whole DARPA program.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm trying to find it so I can read what it says. Because it is just that outrageous that, oh, he's a torture victim. Oh, here it is. Stop destroying lives. He is a TI, a torture victim. I'm a victim of the United States government torture program. The National Security Agency and Department of Homeland Security is legally detaining, microchipping and torturing innocent civilians in the USA. Indefinite detention with no charges, no right to legal counsel, all human rights violated. I'm a victim of this horrific program. Say no to human violations. I am a torture victim. That was one. And there's another one that said he's like been blown up with. But he's also seen UFOs.
Oh, good.
All of them. Yeah, that's pretty new. He says, I am not a terrorist. Accused torture and murder, a result of Obama's renewal of the Patriot Act and its expansions. Innocent civilians are being listed as terrorists.
Well, I believe that part, but but
I mean, he could be. Like, he could be. I don't know. Like, maybe he's a terrorist. Like, maybe he's like, maybe he's a psychic
well,
spy
Michael,
from Russia.
Don't forget, we're all labeled as terrorists here. We're talking about.
Well, I am. I know I am because I work for PETA. So, like, I have, like when I go to the airport, I always get the extra screening.
Yep.
Because, like, just the fact that I work for them, like, I'm permanently in that category now as a domestic terrorist.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's like a total domestic terrorist now.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's like you get labeled because of you engage in that vile act of spreading information and knowledge across the country. Like, you know.
Well, the good news is you get a free town every time, right? That's
right.
Opportunity
totally
to perform Reiki on someone
time.
That wouldn't normally.
Yeah. Yeah, you totally get free molestation wherever you go. It's,
yeah.
You know, some people
where
pay
you
for that.
Underwear you know? For them.
You know, some people pay for that stuff. And, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Free.
You're getting it for free. So you should be using
some people,
them at this point.
Some people spend hours on Grindr and don't even get any of that.
Just hope you don't have a latex allergy. Those gloves, they get pretty thorough.
When they pull out the lube, you know you're in trouble.
That's when you know you're really on the watch list.
You got any terrorists up in there? We've heard about you.
They're offering
we've seen your Grindr profile. There might be a few terrorists up there. We need to check that out.
You need to do a little thorough examination.
Give you a thorough boy. Super thorough. I mean, we're going to send this little guy up there with a flashlight.
Oh, man.
He's going to go spelunking.
I flew this weekend, and this is one of the first times that I just didn't have the energy and was cutting my planes too close, like my going through the security too close, so I actually went through the machines for the first time. And I felt like I was missing something from the experience. Like, I was so used to my friendless person. It just felt like a lost experience. I have to recommend that to everyone.
Wow. Gotta love it.
Oh,
got to love it.
Absolutely, but I don't know. There's crazy stuff is always going on. I think it's just a matter of, like I said before, working on yourself is going to help change the things around you.
Right.
So that's the first step.
So what are you going to do to, like, work on yourself? Like, what is your, like, plan of action now? Like, what are you going to do next to further how you move through the world in a more positive way?
Right now, that's just trying to find time to get an actual night's sleep for the next couple of days. Finding time to sleep so I'm not grumpy and napping at everyone my whole way and not being that person that just glares at you from every angle and just doesn't want to be a personable person.
Mm.
But in the long term, I think just getting back into the flow of running, getting back into the flow of I'm always doing some journaling. I carry a little notebook around with me. So I write down little thoughts and we'll go in more depth some days than others.
Right.
But writing and then reflecting back on it when I have time. Because the whole point of the journaling, I think, is so that we can go back later on and see where we're at and remember things that we might have forgotten and have written it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a big part of it, too, because you talk about the journaling and talking about how important it is to write things down and to have that dialogue with yourself. But then that means that we have to go back and reapply those things down the line because it's easy to lose sight of the small little thoughts that we have, the shower thoughts, those thoughts on the train, for your morning commute. when we write those down, it gives us an opportunity to go back and reflect on those later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those little snippets that you write on the corner of your dog-eared notebook, it's sometimes those little guys have some of the most important impact at the time that you go back and read it.
Mm. Yeah, it's important to have that reflection, but also integration.
Yep, exactly.
I think, you know, sometimes we like put this stuff out there, but we don't ever go back and look at where we can integrate into the next phase with all this gathered insight and information and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, because we have a lot of it. We just don't give ourselves credit for it most of the time.
So are you still doing work with Bitcoin?
A little bit here and there. I mean, there's Chicago Bitcoin conferences this weekend. I am unable to attend for that. So many classes and projects happening during the 2 days that it's here. But I've got a meetup that I'm meeting up with people on the 23rd at the end of the month. So that's probably my next move with it. People in Greece are liking it right now, is what it seems like.
Bitcoins.
what brought Bitcoin into your train of thought?
I was watching this show, Million Dollar Listing, the other night.
Oh.
And the guy wanted to like pay for his house like in Bitcoin. And then the guy was like, "Are you stupid? Bring me some request in Bitcoin." It was like $15 million worth of Bitcoin or something. The guy's like, "I don't know what that means."
Hey, that guy should have done it. That would have been a good deal right there.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's brought it up. So, like, I think, like, well, it's like veganism. Like, sometimes, like, it gets to be, like, I had a discussion last night on the show about the word yogi and how everyone tries to, like, use it, like, I'm a yogi now. Like, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean to be a yogi? Like, what does that mean? So we have these words and these ideas and these concepts that, like, pop up. And they pop up and then they kind of fade to the background. But they're probably really good ideas, but, like, no one's really talking about these things because they're so distracted by all the other shit that's out there. And, like, I don't know how many times I see, like, someone post, I just joined this new social media site. It's, like, it's going to be so much better than Facebook. And, like,
oh, yeah, I've seen none of those.
It's like, no, probably not. As much as I hate Facebook. Like,
we've just invested so much time into it at this point, and like everyone's built out their pages so much, and we have so much of our lives on it, trying to integrate.
But we did that with MySpace too, though. Like, we did that with MySpace, and we so quickly like transitioned over to Facebook.
But did it?
You know?
But MySpace was never as ingrained as Facebook is, I feel like.
Right.
I mean,
the time that it was, you know,
absolutely.
I think there will come a time where something will come along that will rival Facebook. Because I think Facebook, you know, with everything, like, even like America being the greatest nation in the universe, right? We're reaching a point to where we can't really wear that title anymore.
No.
You know, we're it's like, you know, it's like we're not innovative enough. It's like every empire comes to a halt. And I think, like, even Facebook at some point is going to have a rival that comes along that will give it a run for its money. Because it's like, you know, you look at Apple, and they're almost too innovative. You don't even get time to, like, use your phone before the next one's coming out.
Exactly. Like, the Apple Watch has gone down 90% in sales since it came out.
Yeah, because people realize this is so stupid. Like, you know, I can get a Casio for $60.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, it does everything I need.
Exactly.
Time.
I don't need everything else.
Yeah. Like, my phone tells time. Like, why do I need why don't you just watch these little tiny little things I can't even like. It's just because we want to be trendy. And,
yep.
you know, I think what's going to come along is going to be something that's so much simpler and streamlined and just it's going to be without all the crap that comes with Facebook. And I feel like eventually it'll happen. Like something will come across. It's like somebody out there is probably going to invent this like super crazy thing. It's going to be like Facebook like on crack or something. You know, it's going to be like way better, way cooler, and like you'll be like 3D images and stuff on it or something, you know.
It'll just be
like
Oculus support.
Yeah, like you'll like put on
immersion.
Your virtual helmet and like you'll walk into like your friend's house, you know. It'll be like
yeah.
I'm gonna visit so and so. Like you like knock on their door and like really look on their wall, you know. It's gonna be something like super crazy like that. Of course, we'll probably have to get microchipped to use it. So.
Well, I mean, obviously, but that's going to happen regardless. I mean, they're going to upgrade our eyeballs, promise us 20 times 20/20 vision, and then we just need to replace it with this eyeball. Like, it's okay.
But like, what happened to Google Glasses?
They shut that program down. Like, it's over.
Yeah, that was a dumb idea, too.
I think Google does, if I'm not mistaken, I think they do these like programs where they try and keep them going for like 2 years and then they shut them down. It's on to the next one. And it's like it opens the space for that innovation to begin and then they like let it kind of go off on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much stuff. Like, I wonder if we just get to a point where, like, we can't support the amount of stuff anymore.
I mean, aren't we
because
there?
All those
isn't
things,
that what's
like,
happening with plastic
well, like,
and trash and pollution?
But that's the thing is it's how much more innovative can we be when there are no resources to be innovative with?
Yeah.
You know, because all of these technological products require resources, like all the little, you know, alloys and things inside of our computers, you know, come from somewhere. And
yeah.
And since we are so disposable, the minute a new iPhone, iPad, Mac comes out, we're throwing away the old one and getting the new ones. And these things are, these byproducts are ending up in, you know, in the environment. But also we're mining to get the stuff. And this makes me wonder, at some point, are we just not going to be able to sustain our technological advances?
Well, it's similar to the way that I look at, like, my confusion with looking at businesses, especially, like, large corporations that have, like, stockholders. Quarter, they look at their sales, and the idea is to have made more this quarter than the previous quarter. That's impossible to be sustainable.
Right.
Just because you get to a certain point where there's just not enough money in the world for you to get more money than you had last time. Like, if you go as
right.
extreme as possible, as, like, making as much money as there's ever been produced kind of thing, you can't make more than last time if there's no more money to be spent.
Right.
Kind of like, it just...
Well, yes, you can. We're like trillions of dollars in debt.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's a whole. I mean, I guess that's part of the issue, the whole issue. But
that's like it's all pretend. It's all really pretend. It's like, you know, you as a bank to get it's all pretend. It's all like, you know, we're trading on promissory notes. You know, our dollar is just a promise, not
yeah.
real money. So it's and like you take a loan, they're giving you money that's not even real. It's like they're giving you like money they've created. You know, it's like mind-boggling how the system works, and it's all just make believe. Like you really think about it, it's all just make believe.
And how do people think that that's like something that makes sense? Is what like people trying to justify making sense like. I justify it to the extent that I'm using it. I use the system, it's there, and it's working for now. But it doesn't make sense, and I don't try and justify it making sense.
Right, right. And that's the thing. It's like we're so – it's like Facebook. It's like we're so enmeshed in the system. And this is why when we talk about systemic issues, it's going to be so hard to dismantle those issues because we're all so bought into it. The very fact that Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben's are on the shelves of grocery stores, we're bought into systemic racism, you know, whether we realize it or not. It's there, and no one questions it. People buy that stuff and probably don't give it a second thought, but it's in our consciousness. It's there. And when we start looking at, you know, these big systems of money and how money affects us and how pretend it like we don't even really touch money anymore. It just all kind of just floats in and out of our bank accounts, like digitally. And at any moment, with a click of a mouse, like you could be destitute. I mean, it's just that simple.
All be gone.
Right, and it's scary to think that there's no tangibility with assets anymore, really. And it's all just based on promises. I mean, it's
scary. Michael, if you have chickens, then that's some real tangible assets for you right there. If you had four chickens, you could trade your chickens.
Right.
But that's where
what happens is like I go and I tell you, you know, I only have four chickens, but I loan you five chickens. You know, and then I charge you, you know, interest when you bring me back chicken. So I'm making money off of you by giving you money that's not even mine. You know, it's like, it's like, you know, someone gave me their chicken and I loan you their chicken and expect you to pay me back with interest with extra chickens. You know, and then I've made money off of you by loaning you something that's not even mine.
Well, that's just a good old American businessman right there.
It really is, you know, and we've gotten so far down the rabbit hole that we're trillions of dollars in debt. And I mean, if China calls, like, I think Greece is like the first country that's like breaking the system.
They're like,
screw you. We're not catering to your system. And everyone's like, what? You're not feeding into the system? They're like, fuck you, we're out of here. We'll fix
like,
this
what's
ourselves.
Gonna happen?
You know, we're not playing with your monopoly money anymore. We're going to, like, fix it ourselves. And they're in really, they're like, totally in uncharted territory. So I was talking to a friend of mine who's, like, really been following everything, and I asked him, like, so I don't really understand it. So, like, what's the deal? And he's like, basically, they told the bankers no. They're not taking the bankers' money. And they're really in just uncharted territory now.
Wow.
I saw like on, there was this like YouTube video of their finance minister hopping on a motorcycle and just leaving. It's like, I'm out of here.
Like, yeah.
It's like they fired him or something. Like he just hopped on his motorcycle and took off.
All right.
Yeah.
That's
but
weird.
It's just, you know, well, today you look at what happened at the stock exchange. I think China, they said their stocks are dropping significantly now too. Like, if we had a global market crash, like, if we had a global crash, or, like, somebody got into the system, computer, like, and they crashed the system, you know, we'd be screwed. And, like, I was watching today, and they said, like, because of the stuff that's happening in Greece right now, and because of the fluctuations in the stock market, people could be losing, like, their pensions and their IRAs and stuff. So what's happening in Greece could happen. Like, could you imagine, like, everyone's waiting in line at 18, there's, like, no more money.
But sorry.
Because it's not tangible. Now we want it to be tangible because if it's digital, they can just take it. And that's what they did. They took people's savings accounts. They just took it. Took the money.
Well, good thing I've got some Bitcoin.
Yeah. There you go.
But more,
I just
more
keep money in my
Bitcoin.
Mattress.
You just keep gold bars underneath your mattress?
Yeah, I just keep gold bars. I don't need gold bars. I just keep – I trade Reiki stuff.
Oh, okay.
I just trade Reiki. I trade energy. I give energy. Yeah.
Seems tangible. tangible enough,
tangible.
More tangible than other things.
Now more tangible than other things, that's right. Because in the end, those gold bars, you can't eat gold bars.
Did you see the video where the guy was offering chocolate bars or a 10-ounce piece of silver?
Huh.
No. There was a guy, he was standing, it's like a little YouTube video that I saw floating around. He's standing on the street corner, and he's got a stack of Hershey candy bars in one hand. He's got a 10-ounce gold bar in the, or silver bar in the other hand, which is worth like $150 right now. And he was like, do you want a chocolate bar or this 10-ounce bar of silver? Everyone took the chocolate bar. They're like, I can't eat the bar of silver. I don't know what that is. Like, what is that? And he was like, I'll just take the candy bar. Thanks. And he was like, giving anyone who wanted it could have it. But everyone
was Where was
taking
he?
The candy
that
bar.
He was doing this.
On some street corner. I didn't look into it enough. Don't
I
know exactly
it
where.
Like... in some place where they knew what silver was.
It was in, I know for a fact it was in front of a coin store, though.
Really?
Because he offered someone, he's like, we can go get it appraised right in store there. And they're like, no, it's okay, I'll just take the candy bar.
But I think that's a very telling thing, because that's like the reality. Like, if the shit's hitting the fan, like,
yeah.
Who's going to want gold? I mean, you might have it if the world comes back from this, like, brink of disaster. But what is, like, having, like, when people go looting, it's like, I mean, you know, you're taking 15 TVs. Why?
Like, what for?
You need 15 TVs.
What are you
and, like, when the zombie apocalypse comes, like, who's going to need 15 TVs?
Well, don't you want your wall of TVs so that you can watch your VHS tapes on, like,
That's
nine
right.
TVs at once?
That's right. Because then there's no more power grid because it's all, like, hooked up to the internet and stuff.
Well, we have enough solar panel infrastructure built out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of places still.
Yeah.
Still able to get some DVD players going.
And that's where all those, like, tribes in South America and Africa will be just laughing their heads off, like, when shit, like, hits the fan.
Yeah,
they're
going to be
like,
what? What's
ready.
Different?
We've been ready. They're going to be the first world nations then, you know. It's going to be crazy.
Exactly.
Like, it immediately goes from us being first world to them being first world.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, look at it. We have lights, and we have some solar, and we've got some water wells. What do you guys have? That's cute, your polluted water.
And that's the thing they're talking about in some of these fruitarian books I'm reading, is that, you know, gotten so far away from how we're supposed to live that our body's adapted to this negative space that we're in. And it's actually causing us a lot of harm because, like, if we were to lose all these amenities all of a sudden, the body wouldn't know how to deal with that.
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, just look, if you lost your phone, like, what would happen? Like, people freak out.
Oh, I have a panic attack when I don't know where it is for 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God. Where is it? And then I have to scan through everything and make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yeah. It's nuts. Totally
nuts. It's a crazy scramble. But we're making it. We're still here.
We're
right
making
now,
it.
So
we're doing it.
No reason,
just
no
we
reason
can.
To run around in circles screaming yet. We're not there quite yet. Even though
not
I'm
yet.
Feeling good at times.
Even though we get pretty close.
Yeah. But we've always been getting pretty close. We kind of, as humans, like to walk the edge until we're just about ready to fall over, and then we're like, not quite yet. We can still keep going.
Right.
But.
All right. So I think we've come about to the end of our broadcast. Lots of
awesome.
Good conversation, as always. As
oh,
always, thank
always.
You all out there for joining us here on Evolve Spirit Radio. Looking to see here. I think we may have lost the internet.
Oh, no.
So we might not have, like...
Have we just been having a nice phone chat, phone call?
Well, no, like, we're on the air. Like, we are on
oh, okay.
air. Because, but, like... But I don't think we're, like... Like, I have no control over the station anymore, I don't think.
We've lost control.
We're just kind of floating through space, like right now. It's what is actually happening.
Yeah.
So
normally,
what's happening?
So like, yeah. So we have no outro music.
Oh,
you have to sing us out.
I don't know the song.
Do you know our theme song? Do you know how it goes?
I don't think I can do the tune. I've been.
Well, anyways, this is a little MC Yogi. We don't have an outro tonight for you all, but just imagine it in your head, some like really cool music. Whatever like your cool song is, like whatever like, if you like want to have your personal outro, like right now, like think of that song and let that song be your playing in your head while we say goodnight and goodbye.
Exactly, I like that.
Yeah. So, anyways, thank you all for joining us and for sharing this time with us. And at least we were on air. Wow.
Yeah, we made it on.
Down. And if I had been on the headset, like it wouldn't have worked. So luckily, like the switch happened. So everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
So anyways, talk to you all next week, next Wednesday. We'll be back around the same time. Hopefully the internet will be cooperative and DARPA won't be trying to like stop our show from happening. So
hopefully not,
until then,
can't make any promises.
Until then. Yeah, until then, what do you want to say to everyone as we leave?
Everyone just needs to keep working on themselves. Just keep trying to implement those little changes that you want to put forward to make yourself feel better in your own skin.
Just do what you can do. Do the best you can and, you know, don't give up. You know, have those tough conversations with yourself and others.
But don't put too much pressure
that,
on yourself.
Yeah, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Have some fun. Lighten
exactly.
up a bit.
Exactly. We should do that. We should have a lighted joy, a positive conversation day.
Exactly.
No going to the negative for one whole podcast conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Just lighten up.
Daisy and sunshine. I'm about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that. All righty. Well, until next time, we are signing off. Have a good night, everyone.
Hey, good night.
All right. Bye.
See ya.